me tell you, let me tell you something. Things on my mind. Let me tell you, let me tell you something. Things on my mind. I wanna be free. I wanna be free now, say I wanna be free now, say I wanna be free. Sometimes I wonder. Things on my mind. Sometimes I wonder. That thing on my mind. I wanna be free. I wanna be free now. See, I wanna be free. Wanna be free. Some people try to hold you back, hit you on the head. Some people wanna hold you back, hit on the head. I wanna be free. I wanna be free now. I wanna be free. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Otis Taylor with a tune called D to E Blues from his new CD, Fantasizing About Being Black. Otis Taylor has created a new genre of blues over a 20-year career and 15 albums that he calls trance blues. Slate.com's John Morthland says Taylor's approach suggests the global village equivalent of a West African griot, a wise storyteller who passes his village history down orally. I spoke to Otis last Tuesday morning. Joining the program now is Otis Taylor. Welcome to KD&K, Otis.
Thank you very much.
You've managed to create a completely unique style of blues that has since come to be called trance blues. And as near as I can figure out, it all relates to your relationship with the banjo, which you discovered as a teenager in the 60s in Denver at the Denver Folklore Center. Do you remember those first few moments you had?
Yeah, I just had I took Carrie Tuff out for his 82nd birthday party, who used to own the Denver Folklore Center.
How about that?
Came out to dinner, yeah. So I definitely remember those days.
Yeah? What was it like picking up that probably exotic instrument?
It didn't seem exotic to me at the time. I was just a kid. Kids don't know better, you know.
Huh.
That sounds like a banjo joke, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sort of does.
Why do kids play banjos? Because they don't know better?
But you, when you first picked up the banjo and you were learning from the people there at the Folklore Center, you didn't realize that the banjo had roots in Africa, did
you?
No,
I didn't. I didn't find out till maybe when I first got married. I was listening to NPR. I once asked one of my teachers why they didn't tell me. He goes, oh, we just didn't think about telling you. They just didn't enter their mind. They knew, but they just didn't tell me.
So how did that turn things around for you? What did you discover about your art when you realized that?
Oh, I remember I was at Port Townsend, Washington, doing a workshops in John Jackson. Then we were in Album Youngblood Heart, and I said, man, I need to get people and do a banjo album with black people playing banjos. So that's when I really got really aggressive about it, you know, because I was playing banjos in all my albums, and then I decided to do Recapture the Banjo. So Corey Harris, Elton John, Blahard, Guy Davis, Kev Moe, Don Bappy, we all played banjos.
Uh-huh.
I produced a record called Recapturing the Banjo.
That's the one that really put you on the map, isn't it?
It helped because it, it helped.
Now, you don't play the banjo with finger picks, do you?
No, I play old-timey style. It's kind of style. There's a few different styles of banjo. You have, like, ragtime banjo, you know? Then you have five-string old-timey, then you have five-string bluegrass.
I see.
Then you have African goni, you know, more African-style banjo.
Uh-huh. Did you travel to Africa ever?
No.
Pursuit of the banjo?
I've been to North Africa.
Uh-huh.
Been to Libya, Tunisia. Believe it or not, I was in Libya about 8 months before it fell, playing a concert. But, you know, never just North Africa.
Okay. Tell me about trance blues. It's not your regular Chicago blues or 12-bar blues at all, is it?
No, it's sort of a style of American improvisational music. It's like, you know, voodoo music is trance music. Ravi Shankar is trance music. Mississippi Hill Country is trance music. It's just music that has a lot of repetition, so it becomes more trance-like, you know?
Uh-huh.
You lose a sense of time sometimes when you listen to the music.
Yeah, lots of call and response in there too, huh?
Sometimes, yeah. Well, that's call and response is the basis of the blues.
Yeah.
Whether it's 12 bar, 18 bar, or whether it's no chord changes or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's just sort of like the field workers come from Africa, come to the black church. You know, it's just part of the blues, call and response, you know.
Are you familiar with, I call it Blue Man's Blues, Tuareg music from Mali? Tinari?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, African Goni music. And yeah, uh-huh. They call that desert blues. And when I go to France, they call that desert blues, North Africans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
They like me.
Do you like them?
Yeah, I get along with them well, you know.
Yeah.
They seem to know about me a lot more than I thought they did when I was over there, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's hard over there right now. But it's hard everywhere, isn't it?
Don't start me up, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, it's kind of...
I mean, my last album, you know what the last album was? It's called Fantasizing About Being Black, you know.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that? Did they have that in the studio?
Oh, absolutely. What a fantastic album. And I want to talk about that. You know, it doesn't hold back any punches. Pretty honest stuff on there. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that marks all of your recorded output.
To a certain degree, yeah, you know. Sometimes I write a love song and nobody notices.
Except your wife, presumably.
Not really.
Oh, no. Well, we won't go there. But
No, I'm just saying, you know, she doesn't pay attention to what I do.
Uh-huh. Okay.
My daughter, she does. My daughter plays music. And whatever my daughter does, she knows everything she's doing.
She plays in your band sometimes, doesn't she?
Used to, yeah. I play with her once a year.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But she noticed whatever she does. Her name's Cassie Taylor. You can Google her. She's really good.
Yes, she is. Bass player, right?
Yeah, and singer, songwriter, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, let's talk about Fantasizing About Being Black. There's a song in there about a slave in shackles. There's an unlikely father-son reunion. There's interracial relationships, a slave woman dreaming about being free, a little ditty about black soldiers in World War II. You're covering the gamut. About the only thing in there is a helpless teenager saying, I can't. About the only thing not in there is a helpless teenager saying, I can't breathe, or a president who doesn't care much about working folks.
You're just trying to start me up, aren't you?
Well, we have to talk about something, Otis.
You know, my wife says I talk about Trump too much. I'm obsessed with it, so I have to, you know, I have to not talk about it. I have to practice not talking about it. Every time I call a friend, the first thing that comes out of her mouth is, you know who, you know, so trying to, it's like I'm weaning myself off of that whole situation. You know what I mean?
He who must not be named.
You know, it's, get pretty obsessed with it. You know, it's scary, but we're here to talk about music and making people feel good, right?
And that's what trance blues does in a way that a lot of other music just doesn't. And, you know, the first time you hear it, you kind of go, what is this? You scratch your head, and then it sort of penetrates. And the art, your art, I think, is sideways. It's not it's sideways and then deep down into the center. Somehow you, I don't know. It's very interesting stuff, though.
What can I say? Everybody has a different take,
You
know?
Uh-huh.
I hope people like it. But it's different. It's definitely, if people come to my show, they'll see something different they probably haven't seen before. Chances are, not unless they've seen me before, you know?
Well, you know, generally speaking, when you find a music that's different like that, it's the result of an uncompromising vision of your art. Is that something that happened for you over time, or did you know right away that you had to be something different? How did that dynamic work for you?
I think if you're different, you're different because that's who you are. And sometimes I used to think about compromising, but I get confused by compromising, so I just don't compromise. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I write a song and go, does that sound commercial? I go to a friend and go, I don't think so, Otis. I have friends in the radio business go, no, that's not commercial. Okay, so I'm not good at doing commercial, you know.
Yeah.
So just no sense trying, you know.
And yet you've managed to carve out a career of 20 years with 15 albums. So you're doing something right, I guess.
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, how does it feel
to you?
It's
not over yet.
Well, no, of course. But how does it feel? I mean, it seems like there's a progression, every single one. You're always finding something new to say.
Yeah, well, it gets tough. I mean, I may not do another record for another 1 or 2 years. This could be my last record. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to write the songs, you know. Hmm. People go, why don't you do a live album? I said, they can do a live album when I'm dead. You know, it's I'm a songwriter, and I just have to. But the songs come to me, so I don't force them. They have to come to me, the concepts.
I see. So has the next album come to you yet?
No.
Mm-hmm. How does the song
come? I guess when you get old, you get slower. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Just to write a song, it's not good enough just to write a song. It has to be a good song that you want to record.
Uh-huh.
That's the tricky part.
Do you know that right away when you're writing a song?
Yeah.
You do?
I know if it's good enough to be recorded.
Uh-huh.
If it's good enough to remember.
Uh-huh. Huh. How does the songwriting process work for you? Do you seduce your muse, or does the muse seduce you?
Well, it just comes to me like dreams. It's subconscious. You know, you drive down the highway and you get someplace, you don't remember how you got there. That's the state that I write songs in.
Huh. Does it start on the guitar?
It could start singing. It could start in my head. It could start on the guitar.
Uh-huh.
Start anywhere.
Huh.
On the banjo, just in the shower, waking up in the morning. Middle of the night, you know.
You wake up in the middle of the night with a song on your lips?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How do you get that down? Do you write
it? Get up and write it down. It's a pain in the ass. Excuse my language. Am I allowed to say that word? Did I just mess up? You can bleep that word.
No, that's okay. You know, I didn't see your Fannie Hill show last summer, but I saw your Two Rivers show a couple years ago. I think that might have been right after Hey Joe Opus Red Meat was released.
Where was the Two Rivers at?
The Glenwood Center for the Arts Summer of Music in Glenwood Springs.
Oh, I
think that was a couple years ago. But, you know, I didn't hear any trance blues at that show. That was loud, balls to the wall, Telecaster rock and roll.
That was trance blues. There was no chord changes.
Oh, really?
And, see, another thing about trance blues, it can be, so it can be like a round. Do you know what I mean?
No, tell me.
Like roll, roll, roll your boat gently down the street. Well, as long as it's repetitive.
Uh-huh.
So you're listening to it. You probably just got lost in it.
Well, I guess the thing was that it was surprising to me because it wasn't acoustic. Like
it wasn't folk music. No, I'm not a, you know, And we're pretty aggressive. We'll be it'll be a trio, and we'll be aggressive for most of it.
Okay. Well, I was kind of surprised. It wasn't what I was hearing on the album. It was,
well, the album is why I do that, because say if you do an album and you want to go acoustic, and you go there and people go, oh, it doesn't sound like the album. It's better to sound electric than if people expect to hear electric, you know, and you want to go acoustic. Does it make sense?
I sort of, but I guess that's the artistic imperative that you're working under. In other words, the muse is overarching, and I don't know what I'm trying to say.
A lot of people like my live show, that my records go, why don't you do a live record? I just, it's a nice surprise for people when they come there and they see it's a lot more aggressive.
Because
that's who I am.
Yeah.
Too, a lot. But, I don't know, it was, pretty aggressive.
You take a lot of care in producing your albums as if that's the important part of your career. Do you have the same feeling for the live setting?
Well, live is live. I'm from the 60s, so it's a whole thing, And the album's more about, you have more control of the album. You can do whatever you want. It's like molding clay.
I see. But the legacy that you want to leave in those albums, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you listen, like Fantasize Being Black, listen to Hands on Your Stomach, and tell me what kind of music you think that is.
Yeah.
That's pretty aggressive.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah, so I roll in aggressive. I roll in the album, it's like valleys, you get intense, and then you calm down, you get intense,
Yeah.
Tripping on This is very aggressive.
Yes, it is. And it's very spacey. It's really Tripping on This.
Yeah. So I'm aggressive. And it's a better surprise for people, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. You just completed your 10th Trance Blues Festival in Boulder last month. How did this year's version go?
It was really well. Really, the sponsors were very happy. The people were happy.
I saw one that was at the Outlook Hotel, but I guess you've moved over to E-Town Hall now.
Yeah, but when we do the Outlook, was that the workshop you saw? You went to the workshop?
No, I went to a show.
Oh, but that's different than the workshops and the show. The shows are way better now. The shows are, because we do them on the E-Town stage.
Okay.
And I've gotten better with the shows. It's like my fourth year at E-Town, and I've kind of got it down now. It's really good.
Yeah, who
was... We had really diverse people,
Who was there this year?
CJ Chenier, Damien Flower, Melissa Simeon, and my band, So we had a lot of, CJ Chenier is, Zydeco, and that's just Zydeco, And that Damien Flower is kind of like sort of called country blues, sort of like he's kind of different. It's hard to explain, but it's kind of bluesy, but has sort of a country feeling to it.
Well, I understand that the real meat of the Trance Blues Festival is not the performances, but the workshops.
Yeah, we had 60 people in the workshop.
How about that?
Playing music at the same time. We had tubas and cellos and violins and banjos and ukuleles and pianos and accordions,
Sounded like a potential for cacophony, but no.
A potential for what?
Cacophony.
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Well, it's like chaos.
No. It's bringing it all together because there's no chord changes, so anybody can play. We have beginners with professionals. That's the whole idea, so people share their music. It's not about one person. It's about the group. So somebody who's really good can help a little kid tune his guitar. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So I actually make the teachers, the performers, sit out in the audience. So you get to sit next to, CJ Chenier or Damien Flower. Or Taz was there too, Taz Niedermeyer from School of Rock. He's incredible. He's 14.
Yes, I've heard about that guy.
Yeah, so I had him sit with the kids, He's a kid, He's an incredible guitar player. He's a monster. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So the object is that the teachers sit with the students.
Interesting. Do you still do workshops in schools?
I haven't done one for a while. Uh-huh. I haven't done one. Probably overdue. Huh. The last workshop I did, I taught at Hoskins, you know, for 3 days. But that was about maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago.
Well, I read somewhere that you really enjoy those because unadulterated truth pops out of the mouths of those kids.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed it, but it's really hard. They're not your fans, so it's really hard.
Oh, interesting.
So, I think what I enjoyed the most is when I taught there, there was, you know, in Hoskins, you have like the cowboys and the miners and the trust fund people and all the, you know, when the miners and the cowboys walk up and say, I really liked what you did for your kid, it's a really big compliment to me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like I had more parents walk up to me than any school I ever taught at, you know. They just seemed to be so happy that there was music in their little town, you know.
Huh.
It was really beautiful, you know, but hard work.
Huh.
You have to win kids. They're not. They don't listen to your records. They're not Otis Taylor fans, you know.
Oh, okay. So you have to be on your game.
Oh, you have to win them over.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh. And how do you do
that? At first, it's like cool because they get to get out of class in a psychological way, you know, sort of.
Right.
But after about 5 minutes, you better pull them in, you know.
Is that the way you approach your audiences when you play live?
I'm a performer, too. Uh-huh. It's some part of the Black history. That's part of my history to perform.
Yeah.
It's just what we do. It's part of our heritage.
Okay.
I think that just, you know, kind of, you just sort of raised that way. I think that's, if you get on stage, you get on stage. Makes sense?
Right.
You know what I mean?
You do
if
you want
to get on stage, you need to take care of business.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I hope that makes sense. I hope I'm not too serious, you know.
So there's room for laughter, too.
Oh, I'm funny. Sometimes I'm really funny.
Well, Jump Jolly.
I was going to be a comedian once and, back in the 60s, and somebody, I was studying this comedian, his name was Buddy Brown, and he goes, well, if you do really well, we could get you a gig in the bowling alley. And then if you do really well, we could go to Vegas. And I was like a hippie, go to where?
So what's next for Otis Taylor? You've been pretty prolific, pretty much an album every year. Do you have a new one coming soon?
No.
Uh-huh.
Not right now. You can always go to otistaylor.com and see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I love coming up towards that area, you know.
Well, Otis Taylor, I want to thank you for taking 20 minutes out of your morning to speak to us here at KDNK.
Yeah, and are you coming to the concert?
I am coming.
I always like to put you guys on the spot. You know, be asking me all these questions. Oh no, I'm going to Florida that weekend.
Well, no, I'll be there for sure because I missed your Fannie Hill show, so I have to see you.
It'll be a quiet. It's just a trio, but we'll take care of business. Yeah, for sure.
All right, Otis, take care. Well,
thank you. Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Otis Taylor, taking care of business. Well, unfortunately, the free show at the Temporary tomorrow night is sold out already. But to cause, Ryan Honey tells me that after things start, it's one person out and one person in. So put on your holiday long johns and stand in line, and you'll probably get in eventually.